Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
So let's get to work. I've got lots to get through. Luke chapter 8, verses 21, if you can open your Bibles. We've been going through a series on Luke, the doctor, the great physician, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I've thoroughly enjoyed the men that have been preaching through this incredible book, Luke. And what we're going to do is we're going to unpack. In fact, John was a little bit ahead of us last week. And now we're going to come back one chapter, and which is chapter 8. So we're not quite going in order, but for those who weren't here last week, but we're going back to chapter 8. I've titled the preach this morning, Consider Carefully How You Listen. Consider carefully, church, how we listen to the words of Jesus Christ this morning. In fact, in 21 verses, Jesus says 8 times, listen how you hear. Listen carefully. He who has ears, let him hear. In 21 verses, 8 times we've been asked by Jesus Christ to listen. Amen. So this morning, I trust by the Spirit, we're going to listen, and we're going to see in the first 3 verses, and I know that the eldership are contending. We as a leadership team are contending for salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen. We are contending for healing. Who believes that God heals today? I believe that God is going to release his ripping power of the gospel through people's lives, through families, through cities, through churches. If we who are called by his name, are you called by his name, folk? If you will humble yourself, turn, he will heal you. He will heal you. He desires to heal. Jeremiah 17, I've mentioned it a few times. Jeremiah 17 says something very profound. Jeremiah cries out prophetically, heal me. And I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. It's not a question of Jesus, do you want to save me? Or could you? Would you? Do you really want to heal me, Jesus? This is the power of the declaration, save me, and I shall be saved. Heal me, and I shall be healed. This is the heart of a father. But I want to say something up front. You're going to think, cheapers, Ian, wow. Let me say this clearly. Hearing is not enough. We're going to unpack Luke chapter 8, and you're going to see that hearing is not enough, folk. The heart must be transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's keep going. Verses 8, I want to open. I want to break into 3 sections for us. Number 1, we're going to look at the apostolic heart. Make a note. The first 3 verses, the apostolic heart. Then we're going to look at the condition of the heart, and then we're going to look at the response of the heart. Amen. Are you ready for a journey? Let's go for it. Verses 1. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town to another, one village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. Many others. Look at this, ladies. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. I'm just going to unpack the first 3 verses. The heart of the apostolic. But I have to say one thing. I have to throw it out there. Everything starts in the beginning. Amen. Genesis means the beginning. I'm not going to unpack it. But the point is this. From inception, everything of the kingdom must increase in your life. Amen. It has to break forth. You have to lay hold and you bear fruit. Genesis 2, I won't talk about it now, but it's the 4 rivers. Everything of the kingdom must increase. The apostolic pattern is what happens here now needs to go to the rest of the world. I want to remind us again and freshly encourage us, the apostolic, the privilege, the blessing that we have been called in to partner with Jesus Christ. Let me make it clear. When will the end come? When this gospel, not man's opinion, not man's philosophy, not man's idea, when this gospel is preached to the nations, the end will come. How's that for a privilege? We get to partner with Jesus. Not that he needs us. He's never needed us. He is a self-sustaining, immutable, invincible God. But he says, come and partner with me. Let me take you on a journey and come and delight and see nations transformed by the power of this gospel. It's amazing that Jesus only had one message. I'm amazed at how many people in churches have so many great ideas, so many great philosophies, so many great things, yet Christ preached one thing. He proclaimed the kingdom of God. The good news. Folk, this is good news. You know why it's good news? I was a dreadful sinner, saved by grace into an eternal life forever. Nothing you can do. You can earn it, pay for it. It's simply a work of grace. Man, it's good news. What do you guys think? What I love about the pattern here is Jesus teaches us something about team. It says that the 12 are with him. Jesus doesn't need anyone. He models a pattern. He models a picture. He has 12 people with him on this incredible journey. But ladies, I felt to encourage you. Ladies, put up your hands. Let me see all the ladies here in the house. Amen. Hey, are you ready for the most incredible news? How about this? What Christ does is he saves, he heals, and he delivers. It's the Greek word called sozo. Amen. Who's heard of sozo? This woman, Magdalene, demonically possessed, delivered by Christ, she gets on mission with Jesus, and from the overflow of the heart is generosity. There are women who are sick, who have got diseases. They encounter Christ, he heals them, they respond on mission, generosity. I want to encourage us, ladies, this morning. If you think the apostolic is a man idea, you're wrong. Let me say that again, you're wrong. Man, woman, partner in the apostolic together. Right now, we've got Brad and Sharissa. We've got Hilton Reza. And we've got Nick and Monique. Does anyone know where they are? Italy, Slovenia, apostolic partnership, together as team, into the nations of the world, proclaiming and thrusting this gospel out so that the end will come and then Jesus can come get his bride. Amen. This is the partnership we're on. It's not a man thing. And out of their overflow of generosity, women were healed, people were saved, people were set free. Out of the overflow of generosity, out of their own means, they came and supported the team. Isn't that incredible? Husbands and wives, men and women, partnering in the things of the kingdom. I felt prophetically in the preparation time, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 4. I felt prophetically around the apostolic. I want to keep massaging and keep encouraging the privilege that we have as a local church to partner with Jesus. Listen to what 11:4 says. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. Folk, if you're looking to Brexit for your solution, if you're looking to America-Russia relationship, Zimbabwe, May elections, if that is your deciding point, folk, I've got to encourage you, you're looking at the external. You're looking at that which is temporary. The kingdom of God requires a complete different investment by faith, by courage, and total obedience. If you look to the clouds, you're never going to plant. Oh, look at that, can't do that. Look at that, can't do this. Guys, we subscribe to a different economy. We subscribe to an economy of infinite wealth, infinite resources, and infinite power. Heart of generosity is not based on circumstance, it's based on an understanding of who the king is. Are we together? All right, let's keep going. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 10, we're now going to unpack a bit of the things of the parable of the heart. I don't know about you, but I have read the scripture many, many, many times. And every time I read it, an onion layer comes off, bit by bit, comes off. And I tell you, if you go read the same, make a note, I'm not going to go there now, Mark chapter 4, the same parable is mentioned in Mark, but it's got a slightly different slant. How about this? Jesus says something that like knocked the wind right out of my solar plexus. If you will not understand this parable, you cannot understand anything else. This parable is the parable of what? It's the condition of our heart. If you will not understand this, that Jesus says you cannot understand any other parable. And why does Jesus speak in parables? Maybe you've come to church once or twice and you think, gee, what is all these parable languages? Jesus speaks in parables because on the surface level, it's almost you can't almost understand it. But if we'll go a level deeper, and if we'll go a level deeper, the spiritual truth that will come out will transform your heart. But here's the thing. If you are unwilling to listen, if you're unwilling to seek and to find and to understand, the parable will remain dull to you. Now, where's this coming from? Let's go read verses 4, and we're going to go to the end of 10. Let's go together. While a large crowd was gathering, and people were coming to Jesus from town after town. Look at the switch in the apostolic. Verses 1, Jesus goes from town to village. Verses 4, they come into Jesus. This is the power of multiplication of the kingdom of God. When the apostolic goes forth, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Look at this. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on. In your mind, highlight that word trampled. And the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plant withered because it had no moisture. Underline the word moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Underline that word choked. Still another seed fell on good soil. It came up, yielded a crop 100 times more that was sown. And when he said this, he called out, "He who has ears, let him hear." Here's the invitation, my friends. If you have ears this morning, you're going to hear. Not with the natural ear, it has to be the ears of the Spirit. If you're willing to listen, you will see a spiritual truth. His disciples asked him what the parable meant, and he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables." Why? Look at this. Though seeing, they may not see. Though hearing, they may not understand. Where's Jesus getting this from? You see, these are Jewish people, and they would have known what reference Jesus is speaking to. And guess where he's speaking to? The apostolic. How about this? The call comes out of Isaiah chapter 6. That same wording, Jesus is repeating Isaiah chapter 6. And Isaiah cries, Isaiah's hearing the voice of the Father. And he says, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for me?" Isaiah says, "My hand is up. I will go for you." And he says, "Go to your people, preach and proclaim the kingdom. Though seeing, never see. Though hearing, never hear." There's where Jesus is getting the reference. And how intrinsically linked it is with the apostolic. Because, folk, I'll be honest with you. I've traveled extensively in Africa for 20 years, and there have been many times when I've preached, and you can see the mind is dull because they refuse to listen. They refuse to repent. And there's times when you just see God lifting this veil, and there's a desire for understanding, there's a desire to learn, and there's a desire to seek God. And what happens? Revelation comes. So I want to stop there in verses 10, and why I found this so profound is Proverbs 4 says, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Because everything you do stems from that heart. And Jesus says, if you will not understand this parable, folk, you won't understand anything else. Why? Because I don't know about you, but I've seen seasons in my heart where it ain't good. Amen? How's your heart this morning? There's times when I've had a hard heart. There's times when it's been a bit rocky. There's times when it's been unbelieving. Jesus gave us the parable, verses 11. We're now going to dig a little bit deeper. We're now going to have the parable opened. Let's open our eyes. Let's look at the word of God. And let's see what Jesus is saying about this parable. It says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. Folk, I say with humility. Now we're going to go a little bit deeper now. A little bit stronger. Amen? But I've said to Jesus, if I cannot understand this parable, actually, Lord, I'm not going to understand anything else you're saying. So God, if I'm willing to have this parable transform my heart, I can hear more of what you want to say to me. Those along the path hear. Notice the word folk, hear. You agree? They've heard it, and when the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved. You may say, but Ian, what chance did that person have? The seed went out and the devil came and snatched it. This is the joy of a parable. Because why? There's a layer of onion, a layer of truth below that. If you go to the same picture of the parable, look what it says. It says, as he scattered the seed on the path, it was trampled on. There's your key. There's that depth. Because here's the truth. The reason why there's no salvation, the reason why the heart hasn't been transformed is because the seed was scattered and the person trampled, rejected, despised the seed of salvation. You see what I mean by a parable? It's there, you surface, and by the Spirit, we go the next level. Oh yeah, they rejected Christ. So the seed lies there, and the devil takes it away. The devil didn't just take it away. It had to be rejected. See the next level. This is the parable. But I want you to know this morning, there's been times in my life when I've rejected Jesus Christ. Times before I was born again, I ridiculed, I mocked this gospel. And I won't tell you about my salvation moment in a pizza restaurant, but the point is I came head to head with a God who loved me. I came head to head with God who was holy, who would have to judge my sin. You know that revelation when you see Jesus Christ and then you see yourself next to Jesus? My God, thank you for the cross. That little revelation moment. If you've scorned and rejected Jesus Christ this morning, I want you to know, today you can respond and receive Him as Lord of your life. Second seed, second soil, is those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word. Folks, I'm going to unpack this one a little bit deeper because my heart is burdened. Right now, my heart is burdened for the church universal. Let me explain this. Those on rocky ground, notice the word rocky, are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it. There's a great receiving, hallelujah, when they hear it, but they have no root. Here's the key. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Folk, my heart is burdened for this because I believe many people are sitting in churches. They are warm in pews and they're sitting seats because their response to Christ, and this is going to be a bit heavier, so with humility, I present this before you. They are sitting there in the seats because there's been a response to emotionalism. There's been an intellectual response to Christ. There's been an emotional response to Christ. So what happens is, let's talk about intellectualism. Yeah, I know. I need a savior. I need to protect my money. I need to protect my life. I need to protect my marriage. I need to protect my children. I need some fire insurance. It makes some good sense. Intellectually, I understand I need a savior. Emotionally, I've been in places where there's been thousands of people, and I can tell you now, there's a vibe. Amen. We must be so careful that the response is not emotional. Yes, there is emotion. Hear what I'm saying? There is. I've seen many people cry. I've seen many people fall. I've seen many people shake. I've seen many different manifestations. That's not the issue. That's just the manifestation of the kingdom coming on you. Okay? Don't ever be caught up with shaking, rattling, rolling. It means nothing. Has the heart been transformed? That's the key. And there's been emotional responses when crowds of people are walking to the front to give their lives to the Lord. Here's the problem. If you look at the parable, it says they have no moisture. You see, there's the surface level. Now let's go deeper. Oh yeah, the reason why they've got no moisture, and Ava would understand this from planting, there's no root. What is it feeding? What is it receiving? It's got nothing because there's no root. So here's the picture. This is what happens. So now, when the testing comes, when the persecution comes, folk, here's the issue. But hold on, when I gave my life to Jesus, the pastor in the front said, come to Jesus, all your trouble's going away. Anyone ever heard that? Come to Jesus, you'll get money. Come to Jesus, whatever. This is the problem, is that all I've seen in my 25 whatever years of walking with the Lord, in fact, the more I've pursued the Lord, the more I've hungered after God, the more trouble comes my way. It's totally contrary to what I'm hearing of a prosperity gospel. Jesus says times will come, trouble will come, persecution will come because of the word. In your own family, division will come because of the word. Jesus has never promised you plain sailing. What he has promised is fear not, I've overcome the world. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. And in fact, when Jesus says something, does he ever lie? He said in this world you will have. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm seeing trouble. Amen. I'm seeing challenges. I'm seeing tough times. But he's just reminding me, fear not. I've overcome the world. You see, the problem on this one is that there's a mental assent to salvation. The heart has not been transformed. You know what? How do we know this? Because when the fire comes, the testing comes, the persecution comes, they believe for a while and they fall away. It's called the word, the great apostasy. It's the falling away. It's the rejection of God. Guys, please understand, this isn't about, it's not about sinning. It's not about falling in grace. Amen. See, when I sin, I fall in God. I fall in His grace. This is, let me give you a prime example. Who's heard of Judas in the Bible? Judas Iscariot. Great. Here's an example of a mental, emotional response. Israel needed a king. Israel wanted the end of Roman rule. Intellectually, I see Christ as Messiah. It makes sense for him to follow him because why? He's going to deliver me. He's going to reestablish Israel's rule and Rome is going. Emotionally, I'm with this Jesus. I'm one of the 12. I'm seeing the deaf hear, the blind see, the dead are raised. I've got profile. I am a pumping in this party. But here's the problem. 3.5 years later, we'll give it 3 years and 1-2 months, suddenly this Jesus ministry that's flying suddenly starts to have persecution, starts to have trouble, starts to have issues. Hold on. You were heading for kingship. You were going to free Rome from Israel. You're now going straight down. I'm selling out. In fact, I'm going to sell him, turn my back, fall away. Because why? He's not doing what intellectually I wanted him to do. You see, the truth is this. And this is, I'm sure it's a bit heavy. But my responsibility to Jesus Christ is one thing only, is to preach the counsel of God's word. And folk, I've got to talk about this because out of all the four soils, this is burdening my heart the most, is that we have a concept of salvation. Men and women sitting in the chair, their hearts have not been transformed. I can tell you now I need a savior. I can tell you now I need a healer. Here's the problem. When Christ says, am I your Lord? There comes the problem. You see, the moment I need saving, great. Naughty badge for the Savior. I need healing, great. Doctor's badge for the healer. Lordship, no, that means I've got someone above me that I bow to and obey. No, I don't quite like that idea now. Hold on. It's not what I signed up for. I thought I could have him when I need saving. I thought I could have him when I need healing. And when I want to do what I want to do, I do what I want to do. That's not salvation, friends. Christ needs to be Lord of your life. And He will save you. And He will heal you. You see, it's an interesting thing. Man was made from soil. Amen. Christ has scattered seed on all the four soils. The seed has gone to humanity. No matter the state of your heart, sitting here this morning, you probably maybe want to put a few daggers in me. That's fine. I love you. But let me say it as it is. The soil, the seed has reached every bit of humanity. Whether you're a hard heart, whether there's been an unbelieving heart, whether there's been a mental, intellectual response, and we're going to go through the other two, humanity has had the seed sown. The question I want to ask you this morning is consider carefully, how are you listening? Because you'll see just now, soil one, soil two, they all heard the word. All right, let's keep going. Verses 14, but the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, notice the word again, they've heard. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Folk, I want to unpack this because this is touching every bit of humanity, every bit of heart. You see, here's the problem, is that the seed, they heard the word, they've received it, the roots have started, they're growing. But as they go on their way, look what it says. As they go on their way, what happens is three things choke it. Now I'm going to unpack a little bit deeper around this theology of the three things that Satan comes with to seek, kill, and destroy. In the book of Genesis, Satan came to Adam, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Three things. He fell. Jesus Christ, in Luke chapter 4, Satan comes the same way, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, victorious. Go read 1 John later. 1 John writes about lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. That has never changed. Right here in Luke chapter 8, you see the three same things again. Let's unpack this. It says this, choked by life's worries. And then I'm going to give you a picture of an empire that fell and is falling based on this. So here, choked by life's worries. If you go look at Mark, it says the cares of this world or other things. Folk, go look at the Roman, Greco-Roman Empire. This polytheism, this multi-god, truth is relative. What did Pilate say to Jesus? What is? It's relative. Whatever truth you want, whatever avenue to God you want, it is fine. It's all relative. The cares of this world, the different options, the different ideas. Here's the thing. Jesus makes a claim that it's my duty in love to repeat again. He doesn't say I am one of the ways. He doesn't say I'm one of the lives. And I'm not one of the truths. Christ makes a claim that is either fundamentally wrong or it's fundamentally, absolutely perfect. He says, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. You may not come to the Father, but through me. Let us never water that down. Truth is not relative when it comes to Jesus Christ. Truth is the embodiment of a person. And it's amazing, if you look at the Roman Greco Empire, that very thing of the cares of life and worry is what actually brought down one of the aspects of the breakdown and actually brought in true worship down the road. If you go look at this, riches. Folk, I want to unpack this. The deceitfulness of wealth. Mark says the deceitfulness of wealth, and Paul talks about it in Timothy. He says, many who have pursued the route to wealth, the deceitfulness of wealth, have destroyed their lives, have shipwrecked their faith. They were sailing on the open seas of salvation. And the pursuit of wealth destroyed their life. Guys, can I make it clear up front? Wealth is not the problem. Hallelujah. Money is not the problem. It's the deceitfulness of the pursuit of it over the pursuit of God. In fact, you want to see what true wealth looks like? Can I show you what kingdom money and kingdom resources looks like? Go read Solomon. He says this, when God gives any man possession, number one, gives the man possession. Number two, he enables them to enjoy it. Oh, how about that? How do you know when you're pursuing the wrong thing? Is you actually end up hating your money and your wealth. Watch out. And it says, not only that, it says, number three, he keeps them preoccupied with gladness of heart. Why? He's not interested in the pursuit of the money. He is glad of heart with the Father. Guys, that's kingdom wealth. Money's not the issue, guys. Money's not the problem. It's the pursuit of it. Folk, how many times have you heard of people who've shipwrecked their life because of the pursuit of wealth? Number three, and that would be, for example, the Babylonian Empire. The Babylonian Empire, the monetary system which we see, which is simply greed-based, lust-based, and it's all about self. It's that Babylonian mindset of money. It's the pursuit of self. Number three, the pleasures. We know the city well, Sodom and Gomorrah. A city given to pleasure. Satisfy yourself. What do we see around the world today? It's all about you. Satisfy yourself. As long as you're okay. Everything's about you. Guys, it's that Sodom spirit of pleasure. Let me tell you now, guys, that's something that is invading the church, these three things. The cares of this world, the pursuit of money, and the pursuit of pleasure. Can I tell you right now, in God's covenant, there's great pleasure. Hallelujah. God is a God of pleasure. How do we know that? Who wrote pleasure? Who designed the very emotion of pleasure? Well, go read Ephesians 1. It said, out of his pleasure, he made you. Everything of God is pleasure, but it's in purity. It is in purpose, and most of all, it's for his glory. That's God's pleasure. Let's keep going. Number 15, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, there's the word again, who hear it, they retain it. That means they lay hold of it. They take possession and ownership of it, and by persevering, produce the crop. You see, the difference between 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, 1 and 2, the heart has not been transformed. There is no salvation. Number 3 and number 4, number 3, the seed is there, the seed has grown, but it doesn't mature into the inheritance that God has. How many Christians are shipwrecking their life to what God has called them to for the pleasures of this world? What is the heart of the Father? The heart of the Father is this, that we would grow, mature into the fullness and the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. Why? Because only sons and daughters can inherit the estate. Paul gives an example. And I won't go into Galatians. He says, what's the difference between a son and a slave? Nothing. When the son is not of age. But when the son comes of age, when the son comes of maturity, he's able to run and he's able to rule in the estate with his father. Look at the scripture here. Hebrews 5:13-14. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguishing good from evil. Notice this, is that there are times, of course, when you're an infant, you've got milk and you're growing up. But solid food is for the mature by constant use, perseverance. They grow up to discern right from wrong. You see, a baby cannot discern right from wrong. My little Caitlin is on milk. Every time I put her to bed, she's on milk. She cannot discern right from wrong. Why? Because that's for solid food. It's for the mature. As they grow up and they work out their salvation with fear and trembling, they start to discern right from wrong. Verses 16, we're going to start coming to a land soon. I want us to look now at the response of our heart. We've had the apostolic heart. We've had the condition of our heart examined. We've gone a level below the parable. Now we're going to look at the response of our heart. Verses 16, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Here's the instruction again. How do you listen to what Jesus is saying? For whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get to him because of the crowd. Someone said, your mom and your brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. You kind of like think Jesus is going to jump up and run. Look what he turns around and he says. And he says, my mother and my brother are those who hear God's word. There's the word. Hear and put it into practice. As I said to you in the beginning of this meeting, hearing is not enough. Every one of those soils heard the message. Every one of those soils heard the word go forth. The question is the heart response to what Jesus is saying. Guys, we need to let our light shine before all men. You see, often what happens when we don't let our light shine before men because we actually fear being hypocritical ourselves. So there are things that we're covering. There are things that are not exposed. There are things that are hidden under that we don't want to come into the light because we don't want to be hypocritical. And guys go, sheepers, Sunday you go to church, but sheepers, I saw you Friday night. I saw you Saturday night. It's not quite gelling up. Everything that's been said in the dark, everything that's been said in the inner rooms, Jesus is saying, guys, we need to open our hearts and repent where we need to repent because everything will be disclosed. In the light of Christ, in the light of eternity, there is not one iota, not even a pin drop of a black mark in the presence of God. Everything lies before him to whom we'll give an account. Our heart response is this, actually, Lord, I'm going to repent where I need to repent. I'm going to humble myself, hear your word and obey what you're calling me to. Hebrews chapter 6, if you could please, Hebrews 6 verses 7 to 8, if you could please go there. I'm going to read from the NIV rather, if you don't mind. Hebrews 6 verses 7 to 8. I want to leave this off, and this gospel, this scripture is pointing not at salvation, my dear friends. It is pointing at inheritance. And let's read together. It says, land that drinks in the rain often, falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessing. Notice that. That's soil number 4. When the rain comes, what does that soil do? It receives. It's soft. It hears the word. Notice this. Jesus Christ wants a useful crop. Hallelujah. He wants a harvest, not only for now, for generations to come and the kingdom to advance. He doesn't want a useless crop. Look what it says here. It says, but the land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burnt. Let me say up front, this is not a salvation thing. This is the pursuit of God when it comes to purpose, when it comes to destiny. The truth is this, I have got the choice. My heart lies before Him, to whom I'll have to give an account. I can either receive that word, allow His healing rain to come in and soften my heart, and produce a crop out of obedience and faithfulness into eternity. Why? He wants a useful crop. Or I can harden my heart. And like the third soil, it's choked by the thorns and it's choked by the weeds. And what happens is I don't walk into that which God has for me as an inheritance.